I know a lot of us are tired. When James said, for all of you that can stand up, stand up. And I looked at the back row and I thought that's going to have to help all of them. But we're glad to be here. It is my honor and privilege to introduce our keynote speaker basically today, Joe Hendricksman. And let me just give you a little bit how I got to know Joe and Amy Hendricksman. 4 years ago, I heard him preach here, and I made a comment to my wife, I want to go see those people. And then the next thing I know, there's a mission trip planned, and I go to Pastor Randy Foster, and I go, put us on that mission, on that trip. He goes, I can't, it's already full. And I told my wife, I'm like, when did this happen? I'm like, I missed church one Sunday, and they announced this. And so... But we had some people that counseled on that, and I got the privilege of going on that trip. We got the privilege of seeing them work in the field. And that's the neat thing about going on a mission trip. You want to know what a missionary does? Go on a mission trip, and you'll find out. You'll see all the hardships and the things they go through and how they respond to people and their ministry. And then you realize, number one, they're doing the same thing we're doing here, but they're doing it under a lot harder circumstances. The things we take for granted that they don't have. And so I appreciate you guys. There's more to that story, but you're going to have to come back for me to tell you the rest of it. So with that, I'm just going to bring you up, Joe, and we'll let you preach to us.
Buenos días a mis amigos latinos. ¿Cómo están todos? I'm going to preach in Spanish, and you guys are just going to have to figure out what we're saying. Is this fresh water? Nope, somebody's drinking that, I think. All right. It is good to be with you this morning. Man, we've had a great week. We're excited about putting God's words together. Man, it's just incredible. We'll talk about that throughout the message. So let's get started this morning. Let's go to Job chapter number 19. We have learned a lot this week about the importance of putting God's Word together. Where would we be this morning without our Bible? What would our life look like if we didn't have the Word of God? We wouldn't be here this morning. We wouldn't have any hope of salvation. And so if you think in your mind, what have we learned because we have a Bible? You know, we've learned who God is. We've learned that God loves us. We've learned that He's prepared a place for us. We've also learned where we came from. Those that don't have a Bible think we came from monkeys. Sometimes we act like that, but the Bible teaches different. And so we know our origin. We know where we're going. We know what lies ahead. We know what our purpose is because we have the Word of God. We know what the end times holds. A lot of people have a fear of the end time. Not me. Why? I know who wins. But could you imagine this morning not having the Word of God? Like I said, we've heard this week some great speakers, and I don't know why I got chosen to be the last one, but that's how God wanted things done. But as I sat this morning and God changed the direction of my message, I thought, uh-oh, I'm in trouble because I'm the last one. But we learned the importance of publishing the Word of God this week. And with your permission, I'd like to step on your toes for just a few minutes before we get into the preaching. Then I'll let God step on your toes from there. But we've got that information in our minds. They've told us why. We got that nice picture last night of the walls of Jerusalem. Incredible, incredible message. But we've got that knowledge in our heads. And that knowledge in our heads does us no good. We've got to get that knowledge from our head to our heart. And only then will we be able to publish God's word. Only then will we be able to have an impact on this world. And we know a lot of facts and a lot of figures. We know a lot of things. But if that information never makes its way down to our heart, we're not going to do the job. Prove it to me. How many of you were here last Sunday? How many of you remember what Randy Foster spoke about? The importance of the Word of God. Here comes a rock. In Mexico, we say, throwing some stones. You heard that knowledge last week. Those that came this week to put Bibles together, that got to your heart. Those that didn't come, that knowledge is still up there. Why? Because our heart causes us to go into action. Our heart moves us. And so if we're going to have a successful, if Heartland is going to have a successful Bible publishing ministry, that information has to get from your head to your heart. No other way around it. No other way around it. And I don't know what he spoke on. He told me the title, and I wanted to go back and listen to it. But I thought, no, if I say some of the same things that he said, then maybe that's what God wants you to hear. But we can have all the knowledge in our heads, but if it doesn't get to our heart, then we won't do anything about it. And so we've heard some great information this week. But has it gotten to your heart? Can I tell you this? Your heart is a reflection of who you are. What comes out of your mouth is what's in your heart. Jesus told us that. The things you do is a reflection of your heart. You say, well, the Bible doesn't talk anything about that. Yes, it does. Put your finger in Job 19 and go to Proverbs chapter 27. In Proverbs chapter number 27, just real quick by way of introduction. Proverbs chapter number 27, verse number 19, keep your finger there in Job. It says, as in water, face answereth to face. So when I look down in that water, I'm going to see a reflection of myself. And then it follows that up by, so the heart of a man. What's in my heart is going to come out. If Bible publishing is in my heart, it's going to come out. If telling others is in my heart, telling others about Jesus is in my heart, that's going to come out. And so we have to understand that we have to get our hearts involved. I know the Bible says our heart is deceitful. I get all that. But the Bible also says if we hide His words in our hearts, we won't sin against Him. God looks on the heart. You know, when we pray, we ask God, God, speak to our minds. Nope, we don't say that. God, speak to our hearts is what we pray. We pray for someone else. God, will you touch that person's heart so that they make a change? We ask God to work in our hearts, change our hearts. And so if Bible publishing is going to be successful, we have to make it a matter of the heart. The machines can do their jobs. The printers will do their jobs. But if we don't make it a matter of the heart, we're going to drop the ball. Some way, somehow, the ball's going to get dropped. And so this morning, it's simply a heart condition. We need to get the information from our head to our heart. No other way around it. We can have all the head knowledge we want. You know, you see those commercials about those sad dogs on TV being mistreated and having a shelter, and they're trying to tug at your heart. I see that, and that's in my mind. I don't give a dollar. I mean, it tries to get to your heart, and that doesn't work for me. But that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get you to feel sorry and get to your heart so that you'll give money to that cause. You know, this is our cause this morning. This is our cause. And we need to get this to our hearts. We've been privileged to start a Bible distribution ministry there by accident. Not something we purposefully did. How many of you have ever heard the story? Some people have. I got a call one day in February of 2017. And the guy on the phone said, "Hey, Brother Joe, I'm going to send you some Bibles and some tracts and some John and Romans for your ministry." I said, "Praise the Lord." He said it should arrive in a couple weeks. So we're waiting and waiting, and I get another phone call. And the guy says, "Hey, I've got some Bibles and tracts in John and Romans for you." I said, "Great. When are they going to arrive?" He said, "Well, let me ask you first." He said, "Do you have a place I can turn around?" That's kind of a dumb question. You know, we live on a nice street. I said, "Sure, yeah, we live on a street." And I said, "There's plenty of places to turn around." He said, "No, you don't understand." He said, "I have a 53-foot semi-trailer. And I need to be able to turn my truck around so I can be back out of town." I said, "What do you mean you have a 53-foot semi-trailer?" He said, "Yeah, I have 24 pallets of Bibles and tracts in John and Romans. 2,189 boxes. I'll never forget that number because there was 11 of us unloading those boxes by hand. And no offense, but 8 of the 11 were women. And so they do their part, amen? And so the Bibles and tracts in John and Romans came, and we rented a little storefront place with a couple garage doors, and we stuck that stuff in there, shut the door, and I thought, man, this will last me for 20 or 30 years. Thought I'll never need another Bible for the ministry. I'll never need another tract or John and Romans. This was on a Tuesday. Friday, we went down to our tourist town to do some shopping and drove our church van down there. It had the name of the church on the side of the van. And we're in the store, and a guy comes up to me and says, "Sir, is that your van outside? Is that your white van?" And so in Mexico, they ask you that for two reasons. Number one, because they've hit it. Or number two, somebody stole it. And so I said, "Yes, sir, what's going on?" He said, "Are you a pastor?" And I said, "Well, yeah, kind of." And I explained to him what we're doing. And he said, "I'm a pastor too." He said, "I'm trying to start a church about 3 hours from here, but I don't have any evangelistic material. Do you know where I can get any tracts or Bibles or anything to help me start that church?" I said, "Yes, exactly. Those are my words. Yes, I do." And so we made an appointment for him to come out to the Bible warehouse and open the doors. And man, he just couldn't believe the material that we had. He said, "Well, how much does this cost?" I said, "Nothing. It's free. Take as much as you want." And he just looked at me. "Are you serious?" I said, "Yes, sir. I'll help you load it in your vehicle." So he took, 10 or 12 boxes, and I was trying to get him to take more. And we still had 2,177 boxes left. But he said to me, he said, "Brother, I have a friend that's starting a church in this town, which is about 4 hours the other direction. Do you mind if I let him know about this?" I said, "Yeah, tell him. Tell him to come." So a few days later, he shows up, and we load his vehicle up, and man, he was just so thankful. "Where does this stuff come from?" And I explained to him the process. He said, "I have a friend, and he's starting a church in such and such in town. Do you mind if I tell him?" That was 7 years ago. Trailer number 23 is en route this week to Mexico. Traeger number 23, the total of those 23 Traegers is 40,605,858 pieces of God's Word.
Wow.
That wasn't even in my thought process when we went to Mexico. Why? Because it wasn't in my heart. It wasn't in my heart. And once that got to my heart, wow. Once it got into the hearts of Mike and Liz Shores here this morning. They drive all over the country. They'll get these pallets here, gathering the Word of God. It's an incredible thing. We were doing a medical clinic one time, and we were giving out Bibles and John and Romans, and man, it's just an incredible thing. And after the clinic, these two kids came up to me with their mama. I think they were 10 years old. They said, "Hey, can we take a picture with you?" I thought, wow, they want a picture of the handsome white guy. And I made a comment like that, and she said, no. I want a picture of the man that gave my kids their first Bible. And that, man, that just breaks your heart. Breaks your heart. The hardest part of my job is when I receive calls for material and I have to tell them I don't have anything. The warehouse is empty. We need more stuff. Somebody asked, man, how long are these 5,000 Bibles going to last you? I said, no, 2 days. 2 days. They'll be gone. They'll be lined up when they know the trailer's coming. You guys have to come and see that. It'll change your heart. And so we have to let God change our hearts so we can see the importance of it. You know, if it gets to your heart, you'll perform the work. You'll put Bibles together. You'll put them together at an alarming rate. If it gets to your heart, you'll pray more than you've ever prayed before. If it gets to your heart, you'll pay the cost. I'm going to throw your pastor under the bus. Last night, he got up and thanked people for being here. He made the statement when they were taking the offering. Hey, I announced last Sunday that we're taking a special offering on Saturday night. And he jokingly said, that's why nobody's here. You know, pastor, sometimes we throw jokes in there that really we're being serious. Why? Because it didn't get into your hearts. That's why you weren't there last night to give. Well, I can give today. I hope you do. I hope you do. Sorry for throwing you under the bus, preacher. But why does that stuff happen? Because it's not in our heart. Here comes another stone. You guys ready for it? Another rock. Does anybody know what percentage of the church's budget goes towards Bible publishing? They might know. Just publishing. Somebody said 11. Is that pretty close? Missions is 13. Okay, does that fall under that for publishing? Less than 30%. Praise the Lord for that 30%. But that's also saying that there's 70% things that are more important than the Word of God. Let that sink in. The book that we claim to love, that we claim to, oh, we'll die for this book, we'll do anything for this book. But yet right now we just found out there's 70% of stuff going on that's more important than this book. Told you there were stones, there are big ones. Why? Because it's not in our heart. Not in our heart. And we've got to get it from our head to our hearts. You know, if Bible publishing gets into my heart, it's going to get into my wallet. It will. It will. If Bible publishing gets into my heart, it's going to get into my prayer life. If Bible publishing gets in my heart, it's going to help me to perform. I think everybody needs to go on a mission trip. Visit one of your missionaries. And see what the world is like without the Word of God. It's an amazing thought to think that 5,000 Bibles we've worked so hard, and they'll be gone in 2 days. And there'll be people asking, hey, you don't have one more Bible for me? You don't have another Bible that I can take home? We have to tell them no. Sorry, we don't have any more. But I want to encourage you this morning. My purpose is not to make you feel bad. My purpose is to animar, to encourage you to get involved, to get that knowledge from your head to your heart. And that was all introduction. The worst is over. Let's go to Job chapter number 19. Job knew the importance of the written word. Job was probably the first book put on paper. Look what Job says in verse number 23, chapter 19, verse number 23. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. that they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. Job knew the importance of having something written down. And if you study Job, he's spending his life after God allows Satan to take everything from him. He spends his life wondering who his adversary is. He spends his life wondering what he did wrong so that God would take everything from him. Did it with a good attitude. He even says later on in Job chapter 31, "Oh, that my adversary would have written the book." Job wanted some answers. There's people in the world today that want answers. They're looking for something. That's why alcohol runs rampant. People are looking for answers. That's why drug abuse runs rampant. People are looking for answers. Pornography. Anything that people can try to fill their life with, because all they simply want is answers. Why am I here? What's my purpose? I'm going through this hard time and I don't know how to deal with that. Oh, if somebody would just tell me what to do. In the famous words of Mike Blake, God wrote a book. God wrote a book. We have his book this morning. Raise your hand if you have one copy of the Word of God. Keep your hand up if you have two copies. Keep your hand up if you have three copies. Keep your hand up if you have five. Keep your hand up if you have seven. Keep your hand up if you have more than 10. Why is it fair that some of us have more than 10 and some people don't even have one? It's not fair. It's not fair. And Job was wondering, man, things are so important. I want to know what's going on in my life. If somebody would just write it down, I would know. Now, if you're like me, my 50-year-old mind is getting to be like a 50-year-old mind. I'll be 51 in 2 weeks, and so it's going downhill rapidly. When Amy tells me, "Hey, Joe, I need you to go to the store," and she'll begin to rattle off what she wants from the store. Husbands, you're just like me. What do you tell her? Write it down. Write it down. Send me a message so I have it written somewhere so I know what to do. And Job knew the importance of writing stuff down. If it's an important event, we're going to write it on our calendar. If it's something we need to remember, we're going to write it down. And Job said in verse number 25, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter days upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this holy, or this body, sorry about that, yet in my flesh shall I see God." That's important stuff to write down. One day we're going to stand before God. We're going to see Him face to face. We're going to have crowns, hopefully, that we can throw at His feet. We know that we're going to rule and reign with Him forever. And He tells us that. Why? Because He wrote it down. He wrote it down. So if it's important, we're going to write it down. And so, publishing the Word of God is important. That's why it's written down. That's why Gutenberg made his press. That's why it's the number one best-selling book. Because it's important. God's very Word. God's instruction manual to us. In the few minutes I have remaining, I want to give you just a few reasons on why we should publish the Word of God. I know Brother Randy did that last week. I'm going to do it again. There's a million reasons to publish the Word of God. And we need to publish the Word of God this morning because of the person who wrote it. It's not just any book, as Mike Blake so eloquently preached. This is God's book. God Himself wrote this book. God Himself breathed this book. God wanted us to have this book, so He wrote it down. This book has stood the test of time. Why? Because of the person that wrote it. Mike Blake listed a few people, mentioned a few people that wrote books, and I'm not going to mention any names because we're on the air, but the books that those people wrote aren't going to last forever. They may be a bestseller for a few weeks or a few months, but that's not going to compare to the bestseller of the Word of God. And so Job knew the importance of writing it down because of the person who wrote it. The Bible says in Psalm 68, you guys have heard that verse this week, that the Lord gave the word. It's His word. He entrusted that to us. It's a perfect book that reflects a perfect God. You can say, oh, that person wrote a good book. And it reflects the author. Yeah, it's a good book. It's not perfect. This book is perfect. And it reflects our perfect God. So we publish the Word of God because of the person that wrote it. And so I'm going to go quickly through a couple of these because there's two I want to dwell on. We publish the Word of God, number two, because it has the power to save. It has the power to save. Go to Romans chapter number one. Romans chapter number 1, very familiar verse. Verse number 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Can I tell you this morning, I'm glad that the Jews rejected the Messiah and His word. Why? Because I have it this morning because of that. I don't know if they would have never rejected. I don't know if we would have ever got it. In Romans, it talks about, hey, what advantage do the Jews have or did the Jews have? They had the oracles of God. They had His word. But they rejected it. And because of that rejection, there was a shift in the gospel that went from the Jew to the Greek. And we have the word of God this morning. And the word of God has the power to save. It's the only book that has the power to save. God wanted us to know that, so He wrote it down. Several years ago, I've shared this story here before. Several years ago, we were up in the mountains, and we had did an outreach. And another missionary and I, after that outreach was over, we went back to follow up to see if we could find some people that were still interested in what the outreach is about, interested in maybe starting a church or learning more about God's Word. And as we went throughout that town, we came across a little walled compound that turned out to be a little church. There's no name, nothing on the outside of the building. And so David and myself, we go inside this walled compound and we shouted for somebody to come out, and this guy came out and introduced himself as a pastor. His wife came outside, and we began to chat. And while we began to chat, the guy comes running up through the opening there in the wall and said, "Man," he said, "guys, I need your help." He said, "The devil is after me, and the devil's going to kill me." And we looked around and said, "Sir, there's nobody after you. There's nobody here that's going to try to kill you." He said, "No, you don't understand." He said, "The devil is going to kill me." We said, "What do you mean the devil's going to kill you?" He said, "Last week, my two friends and I, we made a pact with the devil, giving the devil our souls, and we cut our fingers and we signed our names in blood on this contract." He said, "And 2 days ago," he said, "my two friends died in a car accident." He said, "And I'm the only one left, and the devil's coming after me." Of course, we got serious and we knew that something was going on. And we began to use the Word of God to show this man how he could be saved and show this man the power that God has. And the more we talked about God's Word, the more angry and enraged he became. He began to cough up blood and spit blood on the ground. He lunges at the other missionary. He began to talk in a weird voice. And as that happened, that pastor and his wife went back to their house and left David and myself there. And the only thing we knew to do was quote scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. At one point, that guy tried to grab David around his neck. And we began to plead with the guy. You have to listen to the Word of God. We began to pray and read scripture after scripture after scripture. And finally, we told this guy, sir, if you want to be set free from this, if you want to have your life changed, then you have to follow what God says. Sir, are you ready to leave this behind and give your life to God? And he said, yes, I am. And in that instant, he dropped to his knees and raised his hands toward heaven and prayed and asked Jesus Christ to save him. As soon as he did that, a dust devil formed right behind him and blew for about 15 seconds. And then it just went off over the wall up the side of the mountain. Scariest thing I've ever seen in my life, but it was the greatest lesson that I could ever ask for. Why? Because I saw the power of this book. There is nothing that can stand against this book. And that's why we have to publish it. That's why we have to get it to the lost. That's why we need to make sure that everybody gets a copy of it. Because it has the power to save. It has the power to save. The third thing I want to show you, we have to publish the Word of God because we've had a personal command. Joe, I didn't read anywhere in the Bible where God said we have to go and print the Word of God. Nobody said in Matthew chapter number 28 that we're to go and make disciples, we're to baptize them, and we're to what? Teach them. How can I teach them God's Word if I don't have His Word? And so He's given us a command to go and teach, to go and preach, to go and make disciples. And for that reason, we must print God's Word. Anybody ever try to put something together from IKEA without the instructions? Don't work. Don't work. Anybody ever tried to put their life together without God's Word? Don't work. It don't work. And so we have to go and teach the Word of God. We have to go and train. And you can't teach and you can't train unless you have the book. So we must publish God's Word. Sadly, some of us will say, well, I've already got one. I've got five. I've got 10. Nothing else matters. It's here. It's not gotten down here yet. You've got to move it from your head to your heart. So he gave us a command. We can't teach others without the published Word of God. It's hard to show somebody a Bible verse when they don't have a Bible. This morning I was going to ask everybody to put your Bibles under your chairs and see what it's like trying to read a Bible verse without having a Bible. Impossible. You can't do it. You know, we pray to speak to God. God gave us His Word to speak to us. And so it's important that everybody have this book so God can speak to them. And so we need to publish because it's a personal command. Go to Mark chapter number 8, if you would. Mark chapter number 8. The next reason we need to publish the Word of God, Mark chapter number 5, I apologize. Mark chapter number 5. Without looking at your Bible, does anybody know what Mark chapter 5 talks about? Anybody know? Say it again. Devils are cast out. Jesus cast out the devils and they run down the hill into the herd of swine. We have our Bible. Not a lot of us even knew that. Imagine what it's like not having a Bible. And so we need to publish the Word of God, not only because of the person who wrote it, because it has the power to save. It's a personal command. But here we find the profound effect that it had on the life of this demon-possessed man. And most of you know the story that he was in the cemetery cutting himself, and he was bound with fetters and chains, the Bible says, and he broke those off. He was screaming and crying in the wilderness, in the cemetery, and Jesus comes on the scene. And when Jesus comes on the scene, those devils start talking with Jesus. And we know the story that Jesus cast out the devils. They ran down, they went to the swine and ran down the side of the mountain into the ocean. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 17. Look at the men's response. It says, and they begin to pray him, talking about Jesus, to depart out of their coast. And when he had come to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. The Bible says, and he departed and began to what? Publish. Publish. He began to preach. He began to tell everybody what Jesus had done for him. It had a profound effect on his life. Now you remember here it says that the men of the city wanted Jesus to leave. They were angry about a bunch of pigs. Maybe they were angry that God healed this man. I'm not sure. But the Word of God had a profound effect on this man's life. And the Bible says he began to publish in Decapolis. Anybody know what Decapolis means? How many cities? 10. 10 cities. So he began to publish how great things Jesus had done for him. And it says, and all men did marvel. Because of the published word of this guy, began to affect the other men in that area. It said all men, affected the other people. And when God's word gets into our heart, it'll have a profound effect on our life. It'll change our life. Jump over to Mark chapter number 7. So this man went and preached in the Decapolis, these 10 cities. These men had asked Jesus to leave. Hey, Lord, we need you to get out of here. We don't like what's going on here. We don't like what you're doing. Jesus said to the man, go and publish what great things God had done. And he obediently went. Look, if you would, in Mark chapter number 7, verse number 31. It says, and again, departing the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of where? Decapolis. Jesus comes back to this area. They just asked him to leave. And now he's coming back. In verse number 32, it says, and they, more than one, plural, bring unto him one that was deaf. So now here are these men that had once asked Jesus to leave after hearing the published word of God from this demon-possessed man are now bringing people to Jesus. Why? Because of the profound effect it has on people's lives. And we must publish the Word of God so it'll have a profound effect on everyone's life. Verse number 36, he healed that man, it says in verse 36, and he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. They had a new outlook on who Jesus was. They had a change of heart about Jesus. They changed their mind about Jesus. Why? Because somebody took the time to publish God's word. And after this one man published God's word, in verse number 36, it says, and so much the more a great deal they published it. And so now this one man that was once doing it by himself now had a group of people publishing it. You know, that's how Bible publishing starts. One man had a vision. Don Frazier. You've heard that name. That vision spread to Carlos Demarest. his granddaughter is here this morning. That vision spread to Dr. Charles Keene. And here, 50 years later, 51 years later, little town in Harrisonville, Missouri, is on that bandwagon publishing the Word of God. All started with one. Here, it started with one. And it turned into a great company that published God's Word. And so I want to encourage you this morning, publish the Word of God because of the profound effect it has on others. Several years ago, I met a man by the name of Tomas. Tomas was a former drug trafficker, a wealthy man, got arrested, and got sent to prison for drug trafficking. While in prison, somebody had a ministry of taking Bibles in to the prisoners. Praise the Lord for that. Tomas was so happy to get a Bible. He was so happy to get the pages of God's Word. You know why he was so happy? He tore out the pages and rolled cigarettes with the pages of God's Word. In prison. Bible after Bible after Bible. Tomas got out of prison and found his way to a church in San Luis Potosí, Mexico. Got gloriously saved. In San Luis Potosí, Mexico, they started a Bearing Precious Seed ministry where they printed John and Romans. They had an old rickety press that I think there was more ink on the ground than there was on the paper. But they printed God's Word. And every day, Tomas went to the print shop to print God's Word free of charge. And I was talking to him one day and I said, Tomas, why are you here printing God's Word? You need to have a job so you can have money. He said, no. He said, I spent 10 years in prison smoking the pages of God's Word. I want to make more Bibles today than I smoked in prison. I want to print the Word of God so I can repay, per se, what I did to destroy God's Word. Why did he do that? Because the Bible had a profound effect on his life. How many of us would do that? So Tomas today is planting churches, training missionaries and pastors, doing the work of the Lord. Why? Because the Bible had a profound impact on his life. There's no other book that can do that. There's no other society or thing we can join that will have that kind of an impact on your life, on our lives. And if we don't publish the Word of God, what's going to happen to another Tomas that's sitting in prison? What's going to happen to another demon-possessed man that just wants to have a chance of life, wants to be set free? If we don't publish the Word of God, what's going to happen to that drunk that's destroyed his family? If we don't publish the Word of God, who's going to help that prostitute that's selling her body? If we don't publish the Word of God, how can families be restored? God has given us a tremendous responsibility. It's a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure. But he's here with us, helping us. Never leave us nor forsake us. You say, well, man, at times I don't feel God is here. Here he is. Here he is. You don't know God's there because you're not picking up his book and reading his book. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we heard the other night that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. There's not a Bible verse that says this, but the Word also became written and is dwelling among us. It's dwelling among us. Inside these four walls, we learn the importance of walls. Are we going to be selfish and keep it inside these four walls? Or are we going to make a decision to get that knowledge from our head to our heart so that somebody else can have their life affected and changed by this book. It's our decision. God's not going to force anybody to do that. God's not going to make you do it. He may make you miserable until you do it. Sometimes He works that way. So why don't we just decide to publish? Why don't we just decide to get involved? It's a shame that the armory is not open tomorrow. I bet if somebody would say, "Hey, Bob, I want to go make Bibles tomorrow," I think he could find the keys. It's a shame it's not open on Tuesday. Bob should never have to come before the church and say, "Church, I'd like to open the armory today, but there's no money to buy signatures." Oof. Man, that hurts. Why? Because we're saying there's something else that's more important than the Word of God. I'm telling you, those that weren't here this week, man, you guys missed a great time. It was a wonderful time. And so I don't know when you guys plan on doing another conference like this or when the armory is open, but man, tell Bob you want to make Bibles. And I'm sure he'll open the door. But we got to get it from our head to our heart. That's the only way we're going to accomplish the mission of publishing God's Word. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you so much for giving us your Word. Lord, in our hands this morning, we hold the very breathed words of God. Lord, you've entrusted the church to publish it. And I pray that you will work in our hearts so that we're not satisfied until every person on this earth has a copy of your Word. Lord, I thank you for the effect it's had on my life. Lord, I thank you that we're able to give God's Word out freely in Mexico. We pray that you continue to provide for that ministry. But Lord, there's many other countries that need your Word. And so we ask that you will challenge this church, Lord, speak to this church's heart about getting your Word to the lost. Lord, we're so thankful that you gave it to us. And Lord, speak to our hearts, convict our hearts about making sure we get it to someone else. Lord, we thank you for the time we've had together. In Jesus' name, amen. Brian, if you'd come.
Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, as we continue in prayer, we do thank you so much for the Word of God that you have given to us. And Lord, thank you for being the author of the Word. You are the person who has given it to us. Lord, thank you so much for the power it has to save. Lord, thank you so much for the personal command that you have given us to teach it and to give it to others, Lord, and the profound impact that it has on our lives, Lord. Everyone that's under the sound of my voice is under the influence of the Word of God, and we're all different places this morning. And Lord, I know you've spoken to my heart, and I thank you so much for the message that you've sent through your messenger, a man that has just put a word fitly spoken into the life of this local church and into the hearts of your people. Heavenly Father, as we continue in prayer, I just want to offer the life-changing opportunity that was just spoken of. Perhaps someone under the sound of my voice this morning is not born again. Perhaps they've been sitting and hearing, and maybe like that man in prison, they've just been burning up all the opportunities that they've had to have the Word of God. But today it's set in on them, the power of the gospel. Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God, the author, came and was made flesh and dwelt among us and lived a sinless life so that we could be saved from our sinful life, that we are sinners and we need a Savior. And that Savior has already come, and He offers us eternal life through His Word. The Bible tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Lord, I pray, God, this morning, if there's anyone under the sound of my voice that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, this whole conference is really for you, to show you the incredible, magnificent priority God has on His Word, but also on your soul. The importance is getting it where it needs to go, which is in our hearts. And if Jesus isn't in your heart, He wants to get there today. Is there anyone here under the sound of my voice say, Brian, that's me. I need to be saved. A couple weeks ago, amen, thank you. Just stay right there. We'll come to you. Thank you for standing up. That's a bold witness. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. You can go ahead and remain standing. Nobody looking around. Anyone else? Just like to say, hey, I need to be saved. Anyone else? We'll come to you. We'll take the Bible and we'll open it up. And we'll show you what the Bible says about salvation. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate your honesty. Anyone else? I need Jesus in my heart. That's why I'm here today. Man, there's nothing more important than that. Someone right now, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it, is going to open up that Bible and see what God says about salvation and receive the gift of eternal life, Lord willing. Anyone else want to be assured of your salvation? You want to know today? You make the decision. You get to look at the words. You get to receive the gift. It's not us praying you into heaven. Anyone else? Amen. Church, are you stirred up? I know I am. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity just to hear your word. And I know in this room there's always problems and things that happen in our lives. And I think that it's so important just to remember that the Watergate works, or that there's nothing wrong with it. It's always the source of life. And for today, we've seen the power and heard the illustration from a demoniac's life, Lord. And it's powerful. More powerful than that, it raises us from the dead, quickens us, promises a home and eternal life. And Lord, we are in essence just waiting for that to be manifest, because we know you. And Lord, we're so thankful that you have given us your word. And I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to publish it. Lord, may we take seriously the words that we've heard and evaluate. And here in just a few moments, we're going to take up an offering. And Heavenly Father, as we give back to you, I pray, God, that we would be generous, Lord, that it would demonstrate the value that we place on getting the Word of God to the world. And if we did miss a special offering, Lord, I pray, God, that folks would pitch in and help us get to that goal to cover the costs of this. And it'd be great if the bucket overflowed and we could buy more signatures and continue to get the word to Oaxaca and everywhere else in the world, Lord, that it needs to go, including our own nation. Lord, the word of God is every time we publish, Lord, every time you give us liberty to get the word out, it goes. And we're always amazed at how hungry people are for your word, and we shouldn't be. And so, Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this conference. Thank you for all that we have heard. And we just praise you and thank you and ask your blessing on this one that responded to the call this morning. I pray your blessing on your people. And we ask, Lord, that you bless our time as we conclude the conference here in just a few moments and praying over your word. We thank you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.